Anytime you use a credit card, the data your purchase generates is tracked, mined, and shared, and not just by your bank. A single swipe of your credit card hands over your data to at least a half dozen different types of companies, including retailers like Target, marketers, and even hedge funds. And all of them are making big profits off of that information. It's all part of a sprawling credit card data economy, one that's largely unregulated despite a federal privacy law covering our credit cards. Reporter Jeffrey Fowler wanted to learn more about exactly what private credit card information is being shared and how companies are using that data. He's a tech columnist with The Washington Post, and he recently did an experiment to get some answers. Jeffrey used two different cards to buy two bananas at Target, and here's what he found.
Where does our data end up? It ends up in lots of different hands. It ends up with retailers who use it to try to figure out our psychology and exactly what sort of sensitivity we have to different prices. It ends up with Google, which uses the data to try to figure out whether people who see ads online end up buying those products in the real world. It even ends up with hedge funds that use the data to try to figure out what they should invest in or not. So what I discovered was that there is this vast and growing marketplace for data from credit cards, even though most people probably assume that when they swipe their card, that's just between them and their bank.
Does the bank partner with these companies that are taking our data? Is the bank aware that every time I swipe my card, that my data is getting transferred to everyone from a hedge fund and beyond?
Very much so. This is big business for banks. America does have a credit card privacy law, but instead of saying that it's illegal for banks to share or sell our information, what the law actually says is that banks have the right to share it and use it kind of with however they want, so long as they provide us notice. So once a year, you get this letter in the mail that has a bunch of legalese on it, and at the top, it might say facts on it. And if you look at that piece of paper, it lists a whole bunch of different kinds of categories of ways that your bank might share your personal information. And many, 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 many credit cards on that list say that they might share your information with non-affiliates for the purpose of marketing. Now, what is a non-affiliate? That just means any company not owned by your bank. So they're literally giving themselves a lot of room to work with here. One of the frustrations I found in reporting this and in doing this experiment is so I went to my bank. I went to Chase, which makes one of the credit cards that I tested, and I said, okay, who are you sharing my data with? And they wouldn't tell me. I also went to Amazon, which co-branded the card that I used to buy one of my bananas. And I said, Amazon, what data do you receive every time I swipe this credit card? They also wouldn't be specific. And that is, I think, one of the big takeaways from this experiment, that we're in 2019, but there are still a lot of players in our economy that are collecting our data and making money from our data, but don't feel like they have to be open and transparent about what they're taking and who they're sharing it with.
I often wonder how worried people are about their data being shared. I'm one of those people that does care where my data ends up. But, you know, there are folks who are using Amazon Echo and posting on Facebook and putting their information out there. Is credit card privacy any different, or is it any better than the other types of privacy that we tend to give up on a regular basis?
I think it raises some unique issues that we should definitely talk about. You know, what's the harm potentially from your data being shared? Well, anytime somebody takes your data or data about you and passes it to another set of hands, those hands have the risk and possibility of losing it, of getting hacked and stolen. That is an important risk we should talk about here. Beyond that, I think this is about the balance of power between us as consumers and businesses and retailers. The more information that they have about us when we head into the store, the more power they have, right? So we're slowly losing power as consumers because this is happening. We now know that data means more than just privacy. It's kind of like our work, right? And when somebody takes our work and uses it, we want to know about that. Data could be manipulation. We learned that from Cambridge Analytica and Facebook. So we've got this whole broader set of questions now as a society about data. And I think that's why these companies need to be transparent in answering these questions.
I used to cover privacy issues a bunch of years ago, and I can guarantee you that a lot of Americans are not reading that little pamphlet that they get telling them or disclosing how their data is being used, right?
That's exactly right. And one of the excuses that we get from corporations about their behavior with our data is that they give disclosure. So they have those little, you know, the legalese that they hand out, which doesn't really answer questions anyway. And then many of them, or some of them, offer opt-outs. So again, this is like a system that you have to know exists. But if you go on it, you can say, okay, please don't share some of my data in some circumstances, but you have to know where to go to do that or the number to call. And in my column in the Washington Post, I included some links and 1-800 numbers you can call to do just that. But again, they know most people aren't going to do that. And the devil is in the defaults. And the default for this entire industry, both the banks, the retailers, the credit card networks, you name it, is to collect the data and profit from it.
Shouldn't there be consumer protections on this? You mentioned the ability to opt out, and you give consumers a bunch of places, phone numbers they can call in your column. But what about regulators? Is anything being done at the federal or even at the state level to protect consumers beyond what you outlined in terms of numbers to call and opting out?
At the federal level, there's a lot of talk about it. You'll see some posturing from lawmakers, but we haven't seen a lot of action yet. You know, a couple of presidential candidates have brought up data and privacy issues, particularly in the context of cracking down on the monopoly power of some of these companies. I mean, the reason why Google is so powerful is because it has so much data. The most action that we've actually seen is in California, where I'm based. I'm in San Francisco, and the state has what's called the Consumer Privacy Act, which is going to go into effect in January, and it's going to require a couple of things that are essentially going to become the toughest and de facto privacy law for the United States. It's going to require that these companies actually answer these questions. If you're a company of a particular size and you collect data about people who live in California, you have to tell them what data you collect and who you share it with and give them the ability to opt out of that.
How can we be smarter about the cards that we use? Should we be looking at things beyond just rewards points?
Yeah, I think we've reached a moment as a society where when we're evaluating a product, particularly a credit card, it shouldn't just be about the rates, the annual fees, and the rewards you get back, the air miles you get back. We should be asking questions about what they're doing with the data and ask the card companies to start competing on privacy as well. Apple has and Goldman Sachs have a new entry into this space, and I hope they encourage other companies to market to that as well.
Jeffrey Fowler is a tech columnist at The Washington Post. Jeffrey, thanks so much for your reporting.
You bet.